of agency and insurance and hypothecation were codified. Promissory notes and bills of exchange were formulated even in Mishnaic times. We may here pause to ask, what has become of this spirit of enterprise, love of adventure, this acting or active, roving, restless spirit? Surely doesn't exist in the Jews of the present day. What has become of that commercial sailor race of whom the Dans or Danites were an expression, which this learned Jewish lecturer describes when speaking of Israel in the golden age of the nation's glory? It assuredly does not describe the Jews of the present day. It's an admirable description of Celtic nations, Spain, England, Ireland, Scotland. In the Manual of Ancient History, I read as follows, quote, "From the middle of the 16th to the middle of the 14th century B.C., several colonies from Egypt, Phoenicia, and Phrygia settled in different parts of Greece, bringing with the improvements in the arts and sciences that had been made in their respective countries. A colony under Cadmus settled in Boeotia. He was the first to introduce the use of letters into Greece. The Phoenicians were at that period the undisputed masters of the Aegean. Cyprus was not only a colony, but a province of the Tyrians. From Cyprus, they extended their settlements to Crete. Thence, they proceeded to Africa, Sicily, and Sardinia. The Spanish peninsula was the country with which the Tyrrhenians had the most lucrative trade." Now, what's Dan got to do with all this? You're not interested.
Yes, sir.
We joined a bunch of people right now. They don't know what we're talking about. Now let us track Dan's footprints by this Phoenician light. And we shall find that almost wherever the Phoenicians have been, there or in close proximity, on the name of some place, river, or province, the name of Dan is imprinted, as they did in the earliest independent conquest of Palestine. We have then on the Red Sea, Dongola. Reverend Canon Titcomb, Bishop of Rangoon at one time, took exception to claiming Dongola having any relationship to an Israelite tribe. He thought it was making Dan ubiquitous, spoken like a bishop, to trace him to Africa. But in point of fact, it's one of the easiest to defend. For in Dongola and the neighborhood were two bodies of people, the Falashas and Carmontas, professing the Jewish faith, calling themselves Israelites, and acknowledged by English Jews. In Greece, Calydon, the river of Attica, the Eridon, the Macedon, the Danube, Dinostris, now Dnester, or Dniester, Dinapolis, now the Dnieper, and the River Don. Oh, you can trace these letters, these names to other sources if you want. But the arguments for that are no stronger than the arguments for this. And it's either this or that. Before speaking of the people in Greece and of the Colchians in the eastern corner of the Black Sea, We will take the probable route of an exploring overland party up the Danube to its source in the mountains of Switzerland. There we pick up another river, the Rodan, now the Rhone, down to the sea at the ancient seaport, so-called Phoenician town, of Massilia, now Marseille, and thence across to Sardinia, or Sardinia, back again into Switzerland to pick up the Aridan, now the Po, flowing eastward through Venetia to the Adriatic. While in Venetia, pay attention to the following. We may infer from Ezekiel 28:12-16 that Tyre had as one of her symbols or cognizances some cherubic device. The king of Tyre called the anointed cherub the covering cherub. We know that in prophetic literature points back to the real ruler of Tyre, when Satan was the covering anointed cherub in heaven, but it also was incorporated into the heraldry of Tyre. And we find a winged lion, the cognizance of Venice. Again, Tyre, the capital of Phoenicia, was the proud merchant city of ancient times, and Venice, the capital of Venetia, held the same grand position in the Middle Ages. Is there a connection between Venetia and Phoenicia? From Venetia, we will return to Dynastris, now the Dniester, to follow it to its source, where we pick up the Vistula, at the mouth of which is Danzig, on the shores of the Kodan Gulf, now called Baltic, across to Dannemora, opposite the Gulf of Finland, down the Baltic to Danemark, across the North Sea to Humber, where we find the River Don, and go south to Doncaster. Then we may find a whole country, Dannonia, now called Devonshire, or Devonshire, if you want the... I mean, you know, only the English would make shire sure. Devonshire. Like Louisville. Norfolk. Norfolk. Devonshire. But it used to be Dannonia. And from thence we may cross to the undisputed headquarters of the Danans, the north of Ireland, anciently called Scotia. Wanderers. Where the Tuatha de Danann, which literally translates the tribe of Dan, or the tribe of the Danans, conquered by a Milesian king, to institute the High Kings of Ireland, the eminent rulership in the high mountain of Israel, where the young, tender twig of the cedars of Lebanon, the house of David, is carried by Jeremiah, and we're making the turn. North of Ireland, where we find an immense percentage not only of the names of places, but of popular surnames, with the prefix Don, as Dundalk, Donegal, Donaghadee. This last place, if not the earliest, is one of the earliest reputed settlements of the Tuatha de Danann. Transliterated, it becomes Donaghadee, Dan my witness. From ancient Scotia, we pass over to modern Scotia, or Caledonia, whose namesakes we had in Greece. Here, amongst a host of others, we have the Dumfries, Dumbarton, and these, the letter N becomes M before the letter B. Dundee and Aberdeen, mouth of the Don and the River Don. Any connection? Well, having now given a general view, as marked by names attached to rivers and countries, let us see how history and various marks favor the identification of these footprints as belonging to Danites of Israel and as identical with the Danai of Greece. In history, the renowned Danai of Greece are foremost. Danis, it tells us, came from... You ain't interested. Now, you can expect the Danani, the Danines, the Danoi, the Danunai, or whatever you want to call them, wherever they're encountered, usually in concert with or on Phoenician ships or shipmasters or sailors, you can expect them to remember the charge given by Jacob. And they are to play a judging role, which is to verify stamp as credible, bear witness to, or admit into evidence. These are all judging roles. They are going to recognize that the ancient blessing of God lifted out of the birthrights, the right of the scepter or rulership, to go to Judah. They never really came in to and under the ancient Davidic kingdom of the Pharaoh's line. They therefore would remember and respond most readily to the firstborn line of Judah through Zarah. They will remember during the period that Joseph's brethren ruled in Egypt, after the death of Joseph, that it was Zarahites that rose to prominence, and it was the ruling class, the Zarahites, that left, descendants of Zarah, to found Troy and to found the city-states in Greece, and to rule over certain bands of Ephraimites that sailed and landed in Spain. So you can expect the Danites, wherever they go and find a descendant of Judah through Zarah, ruling, quite ready to accept the divine right to rule to a descendant of Judah through Zarah. Just remember that. They were never really integrated into the Davidic kingdom, were never a part of the tribe kingdom of Judah after Solomon. Were more ready to associate early on with Greece, where descendants of the Judah line of Zarah were already ruling. Remember that. In history, I'm reading from, I'm boring you, but I'm doing it anyway, Dan, the pioneer of Israel, Colonel J.C. Galler. In history, the renowned Danai of Greece are foremost. Danaus, it tells us, came from Egypt. So did Israel. Jethro's daughters, speaking of Moses, told their father, "An Egyptian delivered us." A lot of people read that and didn't even notice it. Strabo, who lived between 40 BC and 20 AD, says, "The Egyptians were the ancestors of the present Jews." Well, they weren't. Except that their ancestors had lived in Egypt almost four centuries. Apion. Apion, an Egyptian priest in the first century BC, calls the Israelites renegade Egyptians. See, they had, after four centuries, how long have we been here? How long? 200 years. 200 years, roughly. Don't give me this smart aleck business about 1 hour and 55 minutes. How long have we been here in this country? And our ancestors, a little over 200 years. Very few Germans refer to themselves as Germans. Very few Englishmen refer to themselves as Englishmen. We're all Americans. Yes, sir. But there's a tendency, if you probe, to identify sections of us from whence we came. That's what these people are doing here. Apion, an Egyptian priest in the first century, calls the Israelites renegade Egyptians. And thus it serves the purpose of identification well that Danaus of Grecian history should be represented as coming from Egypt. The Danai are mentioned by Homer, Pindar, Euripides, Strabo, and others. When we talk of Homer and the still earlier times of which he sung, we're apt to think that these are so early that we could have no earlier records. The Siege of Troy, whose heroes on both sides Homer has immortalized, is believed to have taken place about 1193 B.C. But Deborah and Barak taunted Dan with getting his ships, or in his ships, rather than fighting, about 1193, or rather about 1285 B.C., 100 years before the Siege of Troy. And the conquest of the Holy Land by Joshua was a century and a half before that again, when Dan was assigned a space too little for themselves. According to Euripides and Strabo, Danaus, having arrived in Argos, made a law that those who had borne the name of Pelasgiato throughout Greece should be called Danai. Somewhat of an improvement. Compare this with the act of the people in Dan I've referred to several times, renaming the place and the people Dan and Danites. We learn from Strabo and others that this Argos soon spread its name to the Peloponnesus and afterwards to all Greece. For he says, Homer calls the whole of Greece Argos. For he calls all Argives, as he calls them, Danai and Achaeoi. I think, says Latham, Ethnology of Europe, that the name of the Argive Danai was no other than that of the Israelite tribe of Dan. Only we're so used to confine ourselves to the soil of Palestine in our consideration of the Israelites that we treat them as if they were nowhere else on the globe and ignore the share they may have taken in the ordinary history of the world. The seaports between Tyre and Ascalon of Dan, Ephraim, and Asher must have followed the history of seaports in general and not have stood on the coast for nothing. What a light would be thrown on the origin of the name Peloponnesus and the history of the Pelopid family if a bona fide nation of Pelopes with unequivocal affinities and contemporary annals had existed on the coast of Asia. Who would have hesitated to connect the name Peloponnesus and the history of the Pelopid family if there was a nation on the coast of Asia? They'd quickly say, well, we found the source of the Peloponnesus. Yet with the Danai and the tribe of Dan, this is the case, a coastal city of Dan, a people who put their name as an imprint on the places they go, a people who dwell in seaport in ships, a people who are going to and fro with Grecians in the time of Tyre, and yet we dare not attribute their name to the Danites, just a short boat hop from their coastal city to Greece. You ain't interested in this. Yes, to revert to Argos, this head of all Greece, the first city of the Danai, it stood with two others. Mycenae and Tyrrhenes. The latter of which, standing as it does close to the city of the Danai, might derive its name from Tyre. Well, there are other sources that say that isn't from whence Tyrene gets its name. But their authority that say that's no better than the authority that says this. And as I said earlier, it's either this or that. To revert to Argos, the first city of the Danai, it stood with two others, Mycenae and Tyrenes. The latter of which, Tyrenes, standing as it does close to the city of the Danai, might derive its name from Tyre. There's another instance of the kind. The Danaster, now called Danaster, is sometimes called the Tyrus. Herodotus calls it that. And the people living there are called the Tyritiae. And it is reasonable to infer from the intimate home relations of the people of Tyre with the Danites of Israel, the names of Tyre and Dan were used indiscriminately. Like Englishmen and Britons. Angles coming to settle there, one of the derivatives of the tribe of Ephraim, and Brutus and his group of Zorahites, with some Danites, no doubt, and Ephraimites mixed in. Argos is said by the Greeks to have been the birthplace of Hercules. But Herodotus, the Greek historian who went to some trouble to find out who Hercules really was, made a special voyage to Tyre and found an older temple to Hercules there. The origin of the Grecian Hercules, or rather Heracles, as it is in the Greek, seems to have been in... The origin of the Grecian Hercules, or rather Heracles, as it is in Greek, seems to have been in the daring adventures and exploits of the... You're not interested.